This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, wrapping things up with the energetic Tom Rice. So hard to believe he's 93. But 70 years ago, at 23, he was in a hospital in Europe, healing from wounds suffered at the Battle of the Bulge. Let's pick things up where we left off.
So 2 or 3 weeks there at the hospital, and then they sent me to Repo Depot, a replacement, where they channel these guys out to different places. So I took about 10 guys south to Birch's Garden. The war was winding down some now. And so I found a copy of Mein Kampf. It's done in rice paper, a hard copy. It's in silk. I still have it, and I put the date on it, May 28th, 1945. So we stayed in Birch's Garden. Then they introduced a point system. I think the qualifying number to get out was 79. I had 89 or 92. So they decided to deactivate. They deactivated the 501, and they decided the new recruits had low points. They're going to go to Germany in occupation. We're not going to do that. We've had enough of this stuff. So all our high pointers, we went home.
What was the date when you were wounded?
December 22nd, about 2 p.m.
That brings a few things to mind. For one, Christmas must have been interesting for you that year.
It was Christmas in the convent floor, because they had a little ceremony with the officers, you know, with a chopped down tree and made up some Christmas balls and things. And
what do you think of when it's Christmas, you're 23 years old, you're lying in a bed with a wounded leg and a wounded arm?
How am I going to get out of here? You know, I had 195 days of combat.
Yeah.
That's enough. Most of the guys had, well, maybe comparable. Combat is combat. We were in the most exclusive fraternity that occupies space on the face of the earth. That is a foot soldier and the airborne on patrol in enemy territory. That is a fraternity. There's not many guys in that.
No. And there were a lot that didn't get to come home.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were wounded in the first week of the Battle of the Bulge. It went on for a while after that. Is there a chance that being wounded when you did saved your life? I don't mean to minimize what you went through or the suffering that you experienced.
Who knows? That's just projection, and it may be a good possibility.
Because there are a lot of 101st Airborne guys who kept going after that. And who died.
They went on down to Alsace-Lorraine and did patrols into Hurtigan Forest, and they did a lot of things there.
And you have a very unique way of honoring the guys that you served with, and especially those who didn't come home. Tell me how you got the idea to jump out of an airplane every June 6th.
Risk taker again.
Yeah.
Full of energy. I had 51 years of long distance running. There's got to be something else out there I can do.
Yeah.
You see? I had 44 years of high school and junior college teaching.
What'd you teach?
I taught U.S. government and U.S. history. And I never told anybody in the class about my activity in the 101st.
Wow.
Except once in page 476, chapter 24 in the history textbook. There was a picture of a lieutenant with, and I'm sure you've seen it, it's made a postage stamp out of it, with a piece of cardboard that's number 23 written on it, and a lot of guys around him, all of the guys trying to get eager to get into the conversation with General Eisenhower.
The picture in the textbook gave you the platform to share a little bit with your class.
Yeah, that's the only time, and we only spent just a short period of time on it, and only in one class.
So all those years, you didn't share your own personal story, but you kept running, like you said. You're obviously still in great shape, so it was just a few years ago that you started this annual tradition? How old were you when you did that first commemorative jump?
In the 91, 92. Haven't been doing it too long, but
yeah, but so for the last 3 years, every June 6th, you go up in a tandem jump and skydive.
See, I won't. I'm not going to compromise this knee. This knee has been replaced.
What do you get from that when it's June 6th, a day that you experienced from start to finish, that guys just like you were killed fighting that day, and you jump out of that airplane to skydive and then parachute to the ground? What do you think of? What's the significance of that?
Well, the idea is to honor those guys as best I can, and that's the only way I can do it. For what they did, those that were captured, killed, wounded, whatever. A couple of them in Fort Rosecrans that I know.
That's the
I don't go methodically through the whole process. It's a compounded thrill that's part of my risk nature to free fall 9,000 feet, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm enjoying this thing like mad. I'm posing for the photographer.
Yeah.
You didn't see the picture.
I did. Two thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll put this picture on hometownheroesradio.com in the Facebook page, but here you are skydiving. I can see the wind resistance on you, and you've got both arms out with two thumbs up.
Yeah. We're having a great time.
I can tell you're having a great time, but you're also drawing attention
yeah.
to those who didn't come home.
Then part of the idea is to draw as much attention publicity-wise, although I didn't think of that at the moment, but that's what's happened. I am telling you, everything has broken open on top of me in publicity. And I keep telling Brenda, when is this going to stop? I can settle down to being a human being.
Well, thanks for letting me intrude your privacy here today. So the United States Parachute Association, the president, jumps with you every June 6th.
Every June 6th, yeah. He comes mm-hmm. in from Arizona, and we make a tandem jump. And he gives me the controls when I get down to about 4,000 feet, and I fool around, and then he takes them over at 3,000 feet. I said, let's do some nosedive things. Let's do some stunts and things up there, but I'm not sure he's too anxious about that. In the plane that we went up on last time, there was a squirrel, the guy with a canvas between his arms. And
one of those? Yeah,
between his legs.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get to see him because he was the last guy out, and I was falling free then. I'd like to have seen him, but Brenda,
something tells me you'd like to do it. You'd like to be the squirrel.
Yeah.
Is there a thrill out there that you haven't achieved yet that you're waiting for?
I pegged my livelihood to 101.
Okay.
101 airborne.
You want to go like a screaming eagle,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, well, yeah. The guys have got a formula where they're going to use an old World War II helmet, and in it is going to be some kind of a liquor concoction that's going to knock you off your feet if you stand on a ladder 6 feet tall. And the last guy in the regiment who is still alive is going to have to drink that concoction and jump off of that 6 foot ladder. I'm not looking to that one. But
I think you might have a good shot of drinking out of that helmet, though.
No, I don't want to do that. I don't drink.
Uh-huh.
I never drunk, never smoked, whatever. Maybe that's why I'm that old.
I think that's why you're that young. Yeah. Well, one thing I want to make sure I say is thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us your story, and thank you for keeping the memory of your fellow airborne troops and World War II veterans in general in the consciousness, in mind. What would you say you're most proud of and most thankful for?
The support that the society has given me, the protection. You grow up in this city, this is a paradise to grow up in. The opportunities placed before me on so many different occasions. My gravesite is already sitting in Fort Rosecrans. I know where it is.
You know what kind of view you're going to have.
Yeah,
huh?
Number 325 in Columbarium 3A. So a democracy allows for all freedom of expression, etc. I got fed up with teaching about the activities of human beings as congressmen and all their corruptibility. So I began to move toward the theoretical in constitution building. And so I recall to these kids all of their gifts that they have been given in the Bill of Rights. There were 22 of them at first. Then they went down to 12, and now they're 10. And I like to appoint all of those things, freedom of speech, press, assembly, petition. So you can understand this, Joe. You've got hands. You can choose any occupation you want as long as it's legal. And so you got feet. You can move around this country anytime you want. There's no borderline police stopping you going into Arizona. I appointed ideas about each one of those things so they could really understand what they're getting into and what opportunities are placed before them.
Well, and it hit me that you spent all those decades teaching these impressionable young minds about the Bill of Rights and about all the freedoms that they enjoy in this country, and they never knew how big a price you paid personally to secure those freedoms.
Yeah. This last year and a half, all of this stuff has come down on me. They're not giving me a chance to rest. I just came back from Belgium.
Yeah, how was that? What did you get out of
that? Fantastic trip. The greatest generation took 21 of us. from the United States. And we came together in Washington, D.C., and we were going to go to the Battle of the Bulge. We were going to survey again the northern corridor of that entire bulge area, the places that the Germans had occupied. And we yo-yoed out of Luxembourg every day in a different direction. France, Germany, Holland, Luxembourg, and Belgium. All of those countries we yo-yoed out all around the Battle of the Bulge area. We went into Bastogne, and I noticed right on the right side there is the same old cemetery that I saw in 1944. Now it's covered with snow, and it looks really eerie. They threatened to kill me in Bastogne in 1944. Now what's going to happen in 2014? They damn near killed me again, because I came down with pneumonia later. Anyway, all the people in the city came in. They had pictures for us to sign. They wanted to talk to us. We marched up the hill to Bastogne to McAuliffe Square, where there's a big tank with a big shell hole in it. And so here we are, thousands and thousands of people just around that square. We're waiting for the King and Queen of Belgium. They came through with an entourage of military officers, so many stars that you couldn't count them. It looks like you're looking into the heavens. We're all in our red jackets. I told these guys, let's not call them red jackets. Let's call them the red badge of courage. They like that.
Well, it's fitting.
Yeah. The King and Queen came by, shaking hands with all of us red jacketed guys. I took her hand and I kissed it.
You kissed the Queen of Belgium's hand.
Yeah. I didn't know whether that was protocol or not, but she got her hand kissed. That was it. That's too bad.
And I'm sure you saw that what you did is not forgotten there.
Oh, yeah.
That they can't imagine their lives without the sacrifice that you guys made. That had to be pretty emotional for you.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was. I was three things. I was a soldier. I was an athlete. And I was a teacher. Those three things. The rest of it didn't matter too much.
Well, it sounds like you did a pretty good job at all three of those.
I kind of focus on those. And so today we focused on soldier.
And we're all better for it, aren't we? Tom Rice of Coronado, California. Check out his story on hometownheroesradio.com. And make sure you're back here next week at this very same time. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you one more time that freedom is not free.